that term loosely in your case, Lauterbach. I think we are reversing today and doing Greek first. Yes, I think so.
Barbell's being swarmed down there.
Down where?
He's autographing books today.
Oh, that's right. It's the great book signing today. That's what it was. I know he sent me a note on something. Right. Oh, that's...
Toho.
Well, see, that's what usually happens here. I
do two, but they don't have any book signing. And then you got to write a third one in order to get a book signing.
Well. Oh, Mr. Business, eh? Okay. It's that Katalukan, page 152 in the approved text, Luke 1, 26 to 38. The Annunciation. Endeto me ni to hecto, in the month, the sixth one, and that would be an example of kind of Semitic word order with the adjective following. Luke 1:26. Apestale ha angelus Gabriel. The angel Gabriel, apestale, was sent. That's an aorist passive indicative, third person singular. And that's one of those strong or second aorist passives without the theta. That would be easily identifiable if the form would be apestalthe, but without the theta, it gets a little harder. Apa tu theu. Hey, I thought you were still signing books. Oh, okay. All right, well, we'll go here. I'll take too much of the time this time. All right. Apa tu theu eis pollen tes Galileas. From God unto a city of Galilee. Now, I want you to notice that apa, because the variant reading is hupah. So your modern versions will probably say sent from God, and your old King James will say sent by God. However, I would like to point out to you that it seems at this stage in Hellenistic Greek that apa was starting almost to pinch hit for hupah. And I wouldn't really even hesitate to translate that as sent by God. Luke does this all over the place. Into the city of Galilee, to which was the name Nazareth. It's the city whose name was Nazareth, but please notice that's a dative of possession. The name with respect to it was Nazareth. Its name was Nazareth. I mean, you can call it a dative of respect, but it functions like possession. In fact, if you look down at the very next line, you have the identical thing. You have, to whom the name was Joseph. See, it's that same construction. Luke likes this construction. It's a classical construction. Pros Parthenon, to a virgin, a maiden. Parthenos does not necessarily have to be a virgin, but it is a maiden assumed to be a virgin. Amnestoimenein, let me parse that for you. That is feminine singular accusative perfect passive participle. From mnestoio, to promise. And this is a perfect passive participle. You can see it by the men hamburger helper in there, the fifth, fourth, and third last letters, right onto the stoi without the connecting vowel omicron. The epsilon on the front is not an augment. It is the reduplication. To a virgin promised to a man to whom was the name Joseph, out of the house of David, and the name of the virgin, and you have to say, was Mariam, which is Miriam, Mary, Maria. They're all the same name. Kai eiselthon, aorist active participle, predicate position. Having come in to her, he said, Chaire, greeting. Ke charitomene, another perfect passive participle. Notice the reduplication on the front with the kappa, kechar. Remember, the aspirated consonants do not reduplicate with aspiration like kechar. They always go to the soft version. Kecharito. It's charitao, to favor someone, grant someone favor. And this is hail, hi, yahoo, favored one, one who has been favored and is in a favored condition. That omega there does not indicate any subjunctive. That's an uh-oh contract verb, and it has lengthened. Ha curios metasu, the Lord is with you. Notice how in a number of these, the verb to be is able to be omitted. Hey de, now what's that hey de? Hey de switches the subject to the other person in the conversation or interaction. And she. Epi to logo de etarachthe, and she with respect, with reference to the word, the discourse. Remember, logos rarely means word in the sense of vocable. It means word in the sense of, like I say to you, what's the good word? The answer is not six. You know, what's the good word means, what do you have to tell me that's good? So discourse is usually the right way to, or account is usually the right way to translate logos. And at this discourse, she dia terachthe, aorist passive used in an active but intransitive sense. Terasso means to scare somebody else. And in the passive, it means to be in a scared condition, usually. Fundamental Greek Grammar, chapter 24, section D. It is also a verb of emotion and of... Verbs of emotion and a verb of state normally reverse the relationship between aorist and imperfect. That is to say, the aorist will be entrance into the state and the imperfect would be continuing in the state. So this is how you translate that. And she became whacked out of her mind at the discussion. She became terrified at the discussion. And now notice how it's paired with an imperfect. Began to dialogue with herself, began to discuss, to consider. Putapos means what sort, like poyas, what sort, ha aspas mas hutas, what sort this greeting ia, third singular, present optative active of the verb to be. Now you don't say what sort of greeting this might be, even though all the translations say that. Luke is the only practitioner of this great classical thing in the whole New Testament. And what is that? It is changing an indicative or a subjunctive in an indirect discourse in a secondary sequence and putting it into the optative. So usually the heck works well in this translation as in the following. She was considering what the heck this greeting was. It is not a consideration of might be, like it might be this and it might be that, but what it, yeah, just what you're doing right there. See, what the heck is this greeting? Usually when the change is made to the optative, it shows that there is a certain amount of confusion involved, or uncertainty, that's what I should say, uncertainty. And the angel said to her, Me fabu, stop being afraid, present imperative passive, to cease the state. Stop being afraid, Mariam. For you have discovered, found grace as far as God is concerned, para to theo, with respect to God. What is the Veltz principle of three case prepositions? It is the one I picked up from a prof at the University of Illinois, who is now at down at Emory. He said, just forget the preposition. What would you do with this construction if para didn't happen to be there? Vernon Robbins was this guy's name, and Robbins was right. You have discovered grace with respect to God, as far as God is concerned. I would invite your attention to your side margin references, those of you using the approved blue text, to particularly Exodus 33:16, which is Moses having an argument with God and saying, if I have found favor in your sight, and actually God says to him early, you have found favor in my eyes. Now the point is, you see, this finding favor doesn't mean that the guy is better than other people, but it is the place of God's placing his favor on the person. So I think the Moses passage is better than Genesis 6:8, which is Noah, because Noah was righteous beyond what his generation did. But this is a very interesting one. You might want to check that out. And for several verses as well, not just 16. And behold, looky here, silempse, second person singular, future indicative middle. It is a deponent future of lambano. Remember, silambano is kind of a genus word. It has two rather opposite meanings. One is to conceive a child, and the other is to seize. You will conceive in the womb, and you will bear second singular future indicative middle. That's not a third singular subjunctive. That's a second singular future indicative middle. You will bear a son, and you will call the name of him Jesus, Joshua, Jesus. Hutas, this one, he, will be megas, big, megaton. And huias hupsistu klethesetai, and he will be called Son of the Highest. Now, Son of the Highest is actually a predicate formation. Predicate. It's not this. It's not Son of the Highest will be called. But he will be called Son of the Highest. Now, you can say the Son of the Highest because the predicate is in front of this verb, and it's kind of an application of Caldwell's rule. So it's not a son of a high one, but the Son of the Highest. And Kyrios Hotheos, standard Septuagint rendering of the Lord God, and the Lord God, that's Yahweh Elohim, will give to him, Dosai is a future form of Didomi, the throne of David his father, and Basiloisai, future indicative active, third singular, he will rule over the house of Jacob into the ages, which is forever. Please note the side margin reference of 2 Samuel 7, 12, 13, and 16 as well. But that whole area right in there, which talks about God will establish David's house. And of his kingdom, not will there be telos, not will there be an end. Note your side margin reference to Daniel 7:14, which is helpful. That's the one like the Son of Man who will have authority and power. I pendem mariam pros ton angelon, a little bit koine here, instead of using the dative of indirect discourse. And Mary said to the angel, notice also the Semitic word order, verb, subject. How will this thing be? Notice she uses the neuter tuta because she's talking about a thing. Since a man, a husband, I do not know. Now that's interesting. Since I do not know a man, which I take to mean something like this. Now remember, she is engaged. So it's not that she doesn't know who's going to be her husband. So I think you'd want to emphasize the first principal part, possibly ongoing or whatever, something like this. Since I do not know in an intimate sexual way a man, I am not in this relationship with a man, a husband. The angel, apokrithais, aorist passive participle, said to her. Hey, look at that. Now Luke switches to the more normal dative. Pneuma hagion, Holy Spirit epeloisetai, will come epise on you, and dynamis hupsistu, power of the highest, will overshadow you. Well, now, with that skiadzo root there, we've got the whole business of God dwelling and tenting with his people. By the way, you'll notice that basically there are no articles here, which is often the case when you have these kind of big-time statements. Wherefore, also ta genomenon hageon, the holy thing genomenum, that's from genao, which is in a begotten condition, will be called Son of God. Now there, you would expect more of the article, but this is basically not using articles in all this. There's got to be an article with genomenon because of the participle. We can't put the participle in predicate position. Now, I would like to, if you're preaching a sermon on this, I'd like you to just stop at this point and consider whether the time frame of ta genomenon is right at the present time or will be in the future. In other words, when he says that which is in a begotten condition, that holy thing, will be called Son of the Highest, does it mean that sort of like this, in his words is the coming of the Holy Spirit upon her and the conception? Something like that. Or is it just something like this? That which is going to be in this condition will be called the Son of the Highest in the future. I mean, I don't want to get excessively theological there, but there might be some room to kind of make a move here. That he might be saying that this holy thing is already conceived in her. I mean, or at that time when he's speaking right now. No, because that is not normally the verb genao. Right, that's normally the verb genomai. And behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, syngenis, female syngen, person of the same race, also, aute, she herself, sin ailefen. That's a great one to parse. That's our friend Sulambano. The fourth principal part of lambano is ailefa. So she has already conceived a son in her womb, and this is month sixth. This is sixth month with respect to her. Which one? The one called barren. Now, I'd like to cross-reference for you here, both up in verse 31 and in verse 36, this conceiving in the womb and bearing a son. You might want to notice the side margin reference in verse 31 and write it in again in 36, Judges 13, 3 to 5, which is the conception of Samson. And what's interesting about this, the same kind of phraseology, the same kind of she was barren, the same kind of problem with that, and the kind of the disbelief and the people sort of being confused about it and everything like that. You might want to read the whole chapter of Samson. It's very interesting, because Manoah is kind of doubtful about this, and then there's the whole business of they offer a sacrifice and the angel goes up in the flames. Boy, I had forgotten that. That's really a kind of a neat scene, and And then one of those great biblical things, you know, the guy says, geez, maybe he's going to kill us because we saw God. And the woman says, nah, I don't think so. He'd have killed us by this time already. But take a look at that. You know, the two parallels that you really want to see in the Old Testament to Mary and Elizabeth are, who was the mother of Samson? Manoah was the...
Mrs. Manoah,
and Hannah and Samuel. Those are very important passages. All right? And so it says, verse 37, because uk adinatesai para tu theu pan krema. Kind of a Hebraism. Not will be unable from God, or as far as God is concerned, every utterance. Every utterance will not be unable, meaning no utterance will be impossible as far as God is concerned or from God. You'll notice most of the variants at the top of page 153 have the dative as far as God is concerned. But it could be, I just give you this for your consideration, it could be that para tu theou is conceived of as modifying pan rhema, any utterance from God. And a rhema is like our word utterance. Mary said, behold, hey, doule. Greek doesn't usually do this, just go from one declension to another and change the ending. But here it does with doulos. O declension is masculine, hey, doule is feminine. Behold, look here, the handmaiden of the Lord. Now here's another optative. I didn't know Mary could use optatives. It was incredible. Genoi ta moi, may it be to me according to your utterance. Let it be. Now, what's optative of that? That is not replacing an indicative in indirect discourse in a secondary sequence. This is the optative of wish and the one that's most frequent. May it be to me according to your word. And the angel went away from him. So, as we bring this to a conclusion, let's just say that you've got here parallels, important parallels to the Old Testament, of God doing the choosing and coming. The finding favor is not that the person is better than everybody else, but God's favor is coming to rest on the person, and God bringing his plans to fruition in such a humble way of using people who are not the high and mighty and supposed people, but the people such as Mrs. Manoah, such as Elizabeth, and such as Mary, and so on. Okay.